Hello, this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick and joining me this week we've got Coach Mark Meredith. Hi Mark, you well?
I'm very well, thank you Anthony. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, likewise. So how long have you been in coaching for?
I started briefly when I was about 14 years of age, just helping people out at local grassroots level. You know, my interest was in football and I knew I wasn't going to play at a professional level, so I thought about going into coaching, so I helped out. Like I say, at grassroots. And then when I was 16 and left school, I moved on to college to study with sports science. And also, I was lucky enough to join a college at Birmingham City, was involved. And I did their coaching program for 2 years. That's where I gained my coaching experience and qualifications.
Okay, so you did you became an under-9-10 coach at Birmingham, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I actually got a full-time job as an academy administrator at Birmingham to start with. So I was doing all the contracts and things for the academy players. And then the role came up as part-time for the under-9s and 10s. They were just coming into the academy at the time. So it suited me to get step in with them. And that would be my first road, really, on the coaching journey. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. And I still speak to a lot of the staff there now and the players that I used to coach that are, some of them are still in the academy and some of them moved on to other teams.
You moved on to Derby after that. Did you have a good time there?
It's fantastic. The facilities at Moor Farm at Derby is great. I moved actually for personal reasons to Derby anyway. I bought a house there. So, you know, Moor Farm was so local to me and everybody welcomed me in. I took their under 12 there and I also ran their pre-academy development from under 6s to under 8s. So it was a good experience. It was getting the younger players in and getting them ready for academy football. And then also working with M12s when they first go to 11v11 as well. So it was very nice.
Interesting place to live, Derby, as well.
Yeah, it is. Is that where you're from, is it, Andy?
Yeah. I grew up in Derby, so I know the place well. And yeah, follow Derby.
So you're a Ram, are you?
Yeah. From Derby, so I can't not be, really.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's nice. I actually bought a house first in a place like Ashby de la Zouche in Leicestershire. And then obviously we used to drive into Derby and then actually my two boys still live actually in a place called Gresley now, which is not far from Burton upon Trent. So we still got family around that area and I know they're Birmingham fans because they're following after their dad, but they do have a soft spot for Derby County as well. So it's nice. It's a great club to be involved in for sure.
What about Walsall? Were you there after Derby?
I went to Walsall for about 6 months. I helped them out at the end of the season. I took their under 12s. Went in and it's a great family club. They were a centre of excellence team and they changed to an academy. So when I first went in there was a massive restructure of the youth system. Going from being centre of excellence into the academy system was massive for them. So it was great to be a part of helping them move on.
Within the different places you went to, are the academies quite similar in how they're set up or are there quite big differences between like Birmingham?
Yeah, I think they all have to follow the same. Well, they follow the same route of where they want to be and the players now. Obviously, there's a little bit difference in how they're run, depending on how the academy manager is now. When I was at Birmingham, the academy manager was Terry Wesley. Now, he had already been at Derby as well. So when I moved to Derby and Darren Wassell was there, a lot of the things that was happening was still under the Terry's regime. So I was quite used to what was going on and how things work, so it was nice just to fit straight into that. And then obviously Darren brought his own ideas in and we tried to build his way, and I know now they've gone on to be a category one academy, so they're in a very high level, both teams, Birmingham and Derby, and they're bringing in some good youth players into the first team.
Yeah, are there any particular academies that you think are like top level in England?
You have the normal academies that are, you know, like people that splash their money, the Manchester Cities and Man United and people like that are bringing players through all the time. My favourite was actually Crewe Alexander. I think Dario Gradi there was doing a magnificent job. You know, he was taking the first team and he was also running the under-12s at Derby, at Crewe, when I was at Derby. So, you know, you'd see him around the youth team, and then you'd see him around the first team as well, and he was bringing in the same practices, and he was just trying to really force the younger players into becoming professionals at an early age. You know, and you look at some of the players that have come through from Crewe, like Danny Murphy and Robbie Savage, and you know, people like that, and they're players that have played at the highest level for quite a few seasons. So it's always nice to have a look back and see that, and see that the academies are actually working and bringing people in. You know, you look at Derby now with Will Hughes and that type of people, and Birmingham, you know, they just sold Damari off to Leicester, and Nathan Redmond went to Norwich, and Jack Butland went off to Stoke. So even though they're not keeping them players, they're feeding in high international players through their systems, which is great for everybody involved.
Yeah. You also did some women's football coaching at Leicester and Burton.
Yes.
What do you think of women's football in the UK? Do you think it's...
I think it's growing. I think it's, you know, following on from the World Cup and the success of how England did, I think women's football is growing a lot. Obviously, here in the States, they're world champions, so women's soccer here is probably bigger than what the men's is. But going back to England, it was always difficult because you were trying to build these not a lot of finances, and everything was new. Players wasn't under contracts and things like that, so it could get difficult at times. But I think as the times go on and as the teams start to splash a little bit of money into women's football, then we could really see a success over the next few years. And I really hope that coming up to the next World Cup, that England can really go and be a force there.
What do you think of the standard of women's football in general?
I've worked with some good players, you know. You see some of the players that are playing internationally that are just in local teams. Birmingham have got quite a lot of England internationals, and you know, and so has and West Brom and people like that. So just local teams in the Midlands, and their teams are their players are playing for in the World Cup for England and things. So you know, the standard's good. I honestly don't think the standard will ever be matching the men's game. And that's not in a rude way. I just think that the men's game has had so many years before the women's game even started that I don't think there'll ever be a catch-up on it. I don't think there'll be a catch-up in the way of people watching the sport and getting involved. But from a point of view of getting women in, it's certainly getting better every day.
Do you think it will get to the stage where it's at a decent, you know, professional level where, you know, like in the Women's Premier League, they can all, you know, go about their play football and do that as a career and not, you know, have to do
other jobs? I really hope so. I really hope they can do that, you know. I really hope they can become full-time and live a life on it. I think it would be great. The only way that's going to happen is if, you know, we're pumping more from the Football Association, from the TV rights. People start actually going to watch the soccer and do that. So it all depends on how that works. I'm sure the talent's there for it. It's just the outside of the game, and especially for the Football Association, it's their time now to step in and to pump a bit of that money in and really make it a focus.
Okay. You moved to Texas in the summer. Do you want to tell us about, you know, the role you do over there?
Yeah, I moved over. I got married and I moved over to Texas. And then I started coaching what we call select soccer over here, which is probably about the same as like our lower academies in England. And I take a boys team and a girls team. And I also this year got the role as assistant coach at a university as well, at Christian University in Texas. So, you know, it's really enjoyable. I have an under-10s boys, and I have an under-13 girls, and then I have, obviously, the university students are like 18, 19 years of age. So it's a mix. It really keeps me busy, and it keeps me doing different things throughout the day. So it's enjoyable on my side, especially the English style of football. What you've got to understand here is soccer's the second game behind American football. So, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of focus is on American football, and a lot of focus is on getting players, boys and girls, mainly boys, to play that sport. And soccer becomes a second choice. And also it can be expensive. You know, parents are paying nearly $3,000 a year to sign their children up to play soccer. So, You know, that again, that can force a lot of people out of playing the sport because of the money involved. It's growing as a sport. It really is. And on the women's side of it, like I said earlier on in the conversation, they're world champions here now. So there's a real buzz about girls wanting to play soccer and become the Alex Morgans and people like that in the future. The boys' side, they're still trying to focus on changing a few things. Jürgen Klinsmann's come in as the national manager and he's trying to change a few of the rules to help the development of the players. So we'll just see how it goes.
I take it Klinsmann's not too happy with the idea that kids aren't allowed to head the ball.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that they're massive on concussions and things over here. And I totally understand the safety of everybody. But I know from playing soccer myself for so many years that heading a soccer ball is not going to give you a concussion. You know, you've got more chance of, you know, you can get a concussion anyway, but not by heading that. And they're so light now as well, soccer balls, so. It's not something that, and I just think that you're taking that out of the game. It's gonna spoil everything. You might as well go no head height and play on the floor. That you help development more than trying to save the balls in the air. You can't head it.
Yeah. In terms of the women's game, though, would you say it's as popular in America or more popular than the men's?
Yeah, the women's game is very much, you know, women's game is the biggest sport here for women. You know, none of them play American football, so soccer's probably their biggest sport, and like I said, there's a real buzz around the place about it. And you know, to be fair, a lot of the at national level are fantastic talent. And you also see now that a lot of these English Super League players, I know Rachel Yankee did it and Karen Carney did it for a season. They're coming over here to play and experience the culture and things like that over here in this country. So.
In terms of the main, the men's game then, do you think it could become anywhere near as popular as, you know, American football and basketball and all the major sports in America?
I don't think it'll ever come as popular. I think, like I said about women's and men's football in England, I think American football and basketball will always be the top sports. I do really think that they're going to improve it, and I do think that soccer will come in a little bit more. But, you know, a lot of people now are getting scholarships, American football scholarships. And, you know, there's a lot of sports here because of the weather, people playing beach volleyball and things like that. So, you know, it's difficult to play a soccer game
just
100-degree weather.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're sending boys out at 9 years old playing two or three games in a tournament over a weekend in over 105 degrees. So it's a strain on them, for sure.
Of course. Just one final question about you and coaching. Is there, like, I don't know, a certain age group or anything you find the best to work with?
Yeah, I think, you know, I love the older. I love working with players anyway, of any age. You know, I love to see the development on them. I like to see their joy on their face of doing something that, you know, a game that I love to do. For me personally, you know, somebody around 18 years of age, just going into the first team or just trying to push for a professional contract, I think that gives you a real drive, you know, working with these boys that are right on the edge of playing either Major League Soccer or, you know, sometimes Premier League Soccer when I was in England, you know, these boys that are going into 16 and getting scholarships, and I'm really trying to push on. I know the boys that I coached at under 12s at Derby when I was there, and now first-year scholars, you know, 16 years of age, and now in the building full-time, and I'm really pushing on to get a pro contract. So it's difficult because whatever age group you work with, you've really got a goal to push them a little bit further to what they need to be. But obviously when you get to that age of 16 to 18, their next goal is professional football. So it's a real achievement if somebody signs a pro deal. But you could say that if your 10-year-old signed a pro deal at 16. You know, I coached him 6 years ago and I was the first step of his ladder as he went through.
Yeah. How early do you think, like, kids should start playing if they want to get, you know, become a professional footballer? What sort of age group should they start?
I think it's difficult, you know. I know boys in England, boys and girls, kicking balls around at 3-4 years of age. I know my boys were. I know I was. I sometimes think that the 6- and 7-year-olds is a bit too young to put them into academy soccer, because I think you're throwing pressure on them when you don't really know where they're going to be. So I don't really agree with that. And I see now that people are You know, some of the bigger clubs are paying money for these 6-year-olds to come into their club. So how much pressure is that on somebody who's 6 years old and have got already got money talked about on signing them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think to me personally as a coach, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, go out and play with your friends, keep touching the ball, keep making mistakes, keep enjoying it, because that's the way you learn. And then when you get to 9, 10, 11 years old, then focus on trying to get into the professional game and working on, you know, because sometimes the academies are not as enjoyable that kids think, because I know you're playing soccer, but you're not with your friends anymore. You know, you're not just kicking the ball around the streets like you used to be. You're in an environment where people are on you every training session and on you every game to improve. And if you don't improve and you don't show development, then you know at the end of the year you're going to be released. Mm-hmm. So you always got that pressure every time you step out there. If you're just in the local grassroots soccer or you're just out in the park with your friends, you know, we used to play 30 versus 30. I'm sure you used to say,
yeah.
You know, you put your coat down to make the goals, and it was anybody. You just play. You might not keep the ball the whole game, but you had so much fun with your friends. It was so relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's possible for a coach to spot a good player, though, at the age of 6, 7, 8? Do you think, like, with, you know, because obviously they're not physically developed as much as they would, do you think it's possible to see, you know, a 7-year-old kid and say, yeah, he's going to be a star or something?
I think you can see somebody and you can see what they've got. It depends on what you're looking for. And what you've got to understand is you've got to see, I see he's got talent for that age, but when he goes through, he's got to go through his growth spurt still, he's got to go through puberty still, he's got to go through everything up until when he turns 16 years of age. And you have to put all that to it, because if he has a massive growth spurt and then, you know, everything goes wrong, he could be get to 13, 14, and he could be the worst footballer you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault. That's just the way his body is growing and the way he's reacting to things. So it's difficult. Now, you know, you look at people like Lionel Messi, and you'd wish to see him when he was 6 years old and see what he was like. You know, 5-time winner of the FIFA Player of the Year. Probably the best, well, for me, the best player in the world by far. And then you look at it and you think, well, I wonder what he was like when he first came into the Barcelona Academy at 7, 8 years of age. Did the coaches see that straight away, or did they have to develop it throughout the years and to get into that stage?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on and talk a bit about Birmingham then, who you support. I suppose it's been a lot better since Gary Rowett took over, what, 2 years ago now? A year and a half ago.
You know, Gary's come in and he's made a great impression with everybody. I worked with Gary, actually. He was the under-18s coach at Derby when I was at Derby, so I knew him, and then obviously he went to Burton, so he was always local. So he's a great guy off the field as well, not just on the field, but he's come in and he's put a real buzz around the place and really got them playing. And the great thing about it is that many of the players that he has are the players that he's always, you know, Lee Clark had last season, and Lee Clark went through that stage where we couldn't win a game. Couldn't win a game, a home game for 20 games. Gary comes in, and the first home game Gary has with the same group of players, they win the game, and they've just pushed on from there. So, you know, he has really come in, and I can't put my finger on what he's done and how he's changed it, but he certainly has come in and done something there and really pushed us. You know, we could be in with a chance for the playoffs. We play Nottingham Forest away tonight, and then we play, obviously, Derby on Saturday away. So, two big away games. I think you'd be happy with just getting 2 points out of them. If you could get a draw in both of them games, you'd be happy. If you could get one win and a defeat, you'd probably still, you know, you'd be really happy with 3 points. 6 would be magnificent, but I honestly don't see us getting 6 out of them games with the form, especially the form of Derby at the minute.
Yeah.
And at home. And, you know, they've got a good young manager now in Paul Clement as well, who's come in, and again, he's trying to, after what happened last year under McLaren, you know, he's trying to put the wheels back on for a big push this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, since Rowett took over, it went from, like, relegation sort of area. Last season, I think it was 10th, and now, I guess, playoffs is the target, I guess.
Yeah, you know, for sure. You know, he came in the week after we just got beaten 8-0 by Bournemouth at home. So you couldn't get any worse. You know, you've just been beaten 8-0 at home, and the confidence is low. He comes in and starts to get a couple of results and build, and he brings a few loan players in. You know, we've all had problems with the board level, with the chairman being in jail and whatever else. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's just carried on with his work, and like you say, you'd be disappointed this year if we wasn't in the certainly in the top 10, and you'd be really excited if we got in that top 6 and pushed for the playoffs.
What do you make of Demarai Gray moving to Leicester as well?
I think it's a great move for him. You know, Demarai was with us at the academy level. He's been with us since he was 9 years old. So I've seen him around the academy, and he's a fantastic guy. He has a real love for the game. He has an addition. You know, when you get to 19 years of age and you really want to succeed and you really want to play at the highest level, then who is going to stop you? You don't really have the right as a club to go and stop the boy going to play at the highest level he can. And I just think, you know, with Leicester now, giving him a chance in the Premier League, and I watched him against Spurs in the FA Cup, and I thought he had a very good game. I thought he had made a good impression for his first start. So, you know, I really wish him luck, and I hope he pushes on and becomes a high talent.
Guess it's still sad to see someone progress through the academy and leave the club, though.
Yeah, of course. You know, you want them to stay at homegrown, and you want them to stay in your team. But the problem you get is that you know that these players, like I say, I mentioned earlier on, Demarai and Jack and Nathan, three players. Jack was the youngest ever England goalkeeper, and still, you know, probably one of the most impressive goalkeepers this season in the Premier League. And Nathan Rich in the Premier League as well.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. I appreciate your time. You can follow us at Twitter. We're at V2Football. Or you can follow Mark, which is Meza0102. I'll link both in the description. I've been Anthony Kendrick. Thanks for listening. It's good night from me and good night from Mark. Good night.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.